Okay, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Eric Cantu, and I'm an undergraduate researcher at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. I'm a biology major under the field of Earth, Environmental, and Marine Sciences, and I'm going to be going over my assessment of the soil quality in different farming conditions in the subtropical United States. Okay, so first what I'd like to get into is generally the region that we're in. We're in the southernmost location of Texas, southernmost area of Texas. In Texas, you have four main farming regions for vegetable production. Okay, I circled the lowest part there. It's basically what I wanted to go over with this slide is we're a subtropical but also a semi-arid climate with annual temperatures, annual high temperatures of 85.9 degrees Fahrenheit. These are averages, just letting you know. Annual low temperatures of 65.3 and average temperature of 75.6 degrees. We get around 22 inches of rainfall a year, but I just wanted to touch on that during our summers we usually get above 100 degrees. So we have four county areas that are in the UTRG or in the Rio Grande Valley, but I'm just going to be touching on two of those, which is the Hidalgo County area and the Cameron County area. Some more stats on the Rio Grande Valley. It's number one for fruit and vegetable production within our area, and it has the highest concentration of organic farms in Texas. Majority of the things that we grow in the Rio Grande Valley is citrus, cotton, squash, sugarcane, sorghum, and leafy greens. Okay, so the way we structured our project was a couple years ago in 2014, we conducted a survey with some farmers around the RGV area, and we asked them what are some basic problems that you guys face and some barriers that you guys might want us to work on. These are the basic problems. We have people in our department working on weed control, pest pressures, plant diseases, all these things. We even have some people working on business aspects with certain farmers. But for this talk, I mainly wanted to go over soil fertility issues. And the biggest question that we wanted to ask is we wanted to just do sort of an exploratory design research, trying to see some variables that contributed to the issues in soil fertility. Okay, so one of the biggest problems, what I felt, was the biggest pressures when we were conducting this experiment was just trying to find farmers that were willing to let us get onto their farms and conduct these experiments. But we ended up doing it. Most of them were organic or transitional farmers. But as you can see, this is the Hidalgo County area over here, and this is the Cameron County area. You can see most of it was in the Hidalgo County area. And okay, so we had a two-part methodology for this experiment. Okay, first was the soil, actually getting the soil samples and processing them. First, what we ended up doing is we ended up making these aerial maps using like Google Earth. So it was very simple. We just got the addresses that the farmers gave to us. We mapped out the location, and then we just made a design, like how we were going to end up getting the samples. So as soon as we got out of the truck, we can just get the sample and get out because it's really hot down there, and we wanted to get out as soon as possible. So we ended up using a soil bore. It was 3 centimeter diameter, and we ended up getting a 6-inch deep soil bore for each sample. Each sample consisted of 4 soil cores, so we did 4 times per plot, and we got 3 samples per farm. Okay, next was the sample processing, and it was actually, it wasn't that hard. All we ended up doing was drying the samples. We passed it through a 1 millimeter sieve, and then we tested for organic matter we just passed it through a furnace using ignition method. And then we measured the pH. The pH was measured at a 1-to-2 ratio using a pH probe. The rest of the samples were then sent to Texas Plant and Soil Lab because we didn't have the machine available to actually test for the nutrients and micronutrients ourselves. Okay, this is supposed to be a 2. Okay, so the second part of our research was the farmer interviews. Okay, and basically, at this point, all we did was we set up a one-on-one interview with the farmer. We made a questionnaire, and then we asked some questions regarding their irrigation, the variety of inputs that they put in, whether they practiced organic practices or not, how much they tilled, and of course, like how many times they actually harvested, because we wanted to know more or less how many nutrients and what was being taken out of the soil. With that information, we actually made a couple of categories. We made the sustainable practice, which was, it was basically just how many sustainable practices they implemented, the intensity of their practice, how much they took nutrients and resources out of their soil, and the number of years that they had been planting. Okay, and these are the results that we ended up getting. The pH isn't included in here. I don't know how it came out, but just to give you guys an insight of what the pH down in the valley is, since it's a semi-arid subtropical climate, none of the pHs came up lower than 8, so it was always 8 and above. So the total micronutrient and micronutrient concentrations, although they were high or optimal, because of the high pH, it wasn't accessible to the plant at that time. So these farms that had like high phosphorus concentrations or optimal phosphorus concentrations was most likely because of the fact they implement more sustainable practices such as composting. And of course, all the farms that we ended up getting soil samples from had low percentages of organic matter and nitrogen. Okay. We ended up running a PCA, a principal component analysis, on the data just to see how the different variables that we tested for correlated. As you can see on the far right, you have the TP farms, which even though they did have high sustainable practices, a high number of sustainable practices, because they have been practicing their farming methods for so long and for such a high intensity, their organic matter and nitrogen was depleting. Contrary to the UTRGV farms, which is the local organic farm that we have at the university, which we have pretty much the same amount of sustainable practices, and we've been practicing those sustainable practices for a couple of years now. Since we don't have such an intensity of planting or how much we're taking nutrients out of the soil is much healthier than the Terra preta farms. What I wanted to show you guys with these circles is just correlations or relationships between the variables. So the TP farms, the UTRGV farms, the CB farms, they all cluster together, which rules out processing errors. A summary of the experiment as a whole, the farms of the Rio Grande Valley, although they were high in micronutrient and macronutrient concentrations, because of their high pH, the plants weren't able to access the nutrients within the soil. The soil organic matter was inversely proportional to the number of farming years, so the longer that they practiced their intense farming methods, the lower the organic matter actually ended up coming out to. And of course, soil organic matter can be improved through the sustainable practices such as cover cropping, which our university highly advertises. Also, another thing is, since our university, since the region of the Rio Grande Valley has such high summer temperatures, a lot of the times during our summer months, we just leave our fields fallow. So that's also a really high contributor to low soil organic matter. And then these are my acknowledgments. I'd like to thank the growers, of course, that we ended up getting our samples from, the agroecology lab, Dr. Christopher Taylor, which was a mentor of mine, and also support from the USDA, the UTRGV base scholarship grant, which I base scholarship program, and also the UTRGV engaged scholarship program, which is another grant that I ended up applying for that focuses on community engagement and helping farmers directly within our community. So, yeah.
So we have time for questions. Anybody have some questions for Eric?
Yes.
Are you tracking micronutrients and seeing their relationship of improved
availability
with organic matter?
That's a good question. This was just a baseline study. Not a lot of work has been done with those kinds of results in the Rio Grande Valley, so we intend on using this information for further tests. Like I said, this was just an exploratory experiment. We just wanted to see what kind of variables might be affecting the soil health within the Rio Grande Valley. Go ahead.
Did you make follow-up recommendations?
I'm sorry. Sorry for interrupting, but that was actually something that I forgot to mention. Part of the grant that I got, the Engaged Scholar Grant, was just working really directly with our community, and that was one of the main focuses of our experiment, is that we were going to get soil samples from the farmers and then immediately give them recommendations on what kind of practices they might implement to make their soil more healthy. Go ahead.
So, in your study, you showed that the soil health parameters, particularly soil organic matter, were in proportional to the number of years farming, mostly in a negative way, right?
Okay.
And so, did you see any evidence that there might be farmers that have different skills, like some farmers are better than others in their practices? Did you see any evidence of that in your data?
Mostly, I feel like the data that we collected was highly dependent on the farmer, like you said, but all the information that we got were based on the one-to-one interviews, and I would mean it's most likely that as the farmer progressed, or as there was more years of practice done on the farm, the farmer might have been better at his practice. However, like you said, the organic matter and the number of years practice was inversely proportional, but that was mostly due just from the amount of nutrients that they were taking out of the soil. Like, essentially what my data suggested is that because of the intensity and the unique climate of the region, the intensity or the number of years of sustainable practice was, I don't want to say more important, but despite the fact that there was more sustainable practices being practiced, because of the intensity, it was still going down, regardless of the farmer's skill, I would say.
Hmm. Yeah, you think after, you said the one farm, TP,
mm-hmm.
was 30 over 30 years.
Oh, no, it was like seven. He had only been practicing for 7 years. It wasn't that long. But the fact is, we had some farms that had just been started,
yeah.
You know, and we could have compared those. But like I said, like the TP farms, the soil was practically depleted, even though they practiced so many sustainable practices, just from the sheer intensity of his farming and how long he's been doing it.
You mentioned micronutrient deficiencies. Were you testing the crops at all, or were there residual deficiencies that you're seeing in terms of?
No, we had just ended up getting the soil sample and sending it off to a soil lab. But like I said, because the pH is so high, despite the fact that the micronutrients were high, it doesn't mean that the plants have access to those nutrients within the soil. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The type of compost the farmers have, is it all uniform or different type of compost that each individual farmer has?
I would imagine that each farmer in the farms used a different sort of compost. As far as I know, they probably did.
Let's thank Eric. Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you.